Jill Anderson is a botanist and plant ecologist, and she joins us periodically to talk about phenology or what's going on in the woods and waters right now. Welcome, Jill.
Hello.
So it's only the very, very beginning of September, but I'm already seeing color changes out there.
Yeah, there's lots of variables that play into those color changes. You know, everything from, you know, the immediate kind of weather to what the weather was all summer, and the droughty conditions that we had surely have an influence on everything from leaf color in the trees and the timing of that and the intensity of that to other plants that also are turning color, as you're describing the yellowing of things.
Right.
And that, you know, that's typical, but sometimes drought will hasten the timing of that. So
does
starts
it seem
a little bit early
this year?
Yeah, I would say.
Yeah.
Seems early. And, you know, in my own head, even though I, you know, can't say I could cite any science about it, you know, having measured anything about it, I've attributed around our place to just how dry it was for a really long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so I think some things have turned brown, you know, literally tree leaves even of the birch along the shore. In particular, they definitely started to brown early on versus just kind of do that natural change of color into the yellows and before going to, you know, dried up and frozen and fallen. But other plants, it seems they're doing more their usual transitions of color, but just at a little bit earlier moment. So lots of things are going on. It's such the transitional seasons, they might be slower here in the, you know, recreational tourism sense sometimes, but not in the natural world.
Mm.
The transitions are times when so many, many things are happening and sometimes kind of at a high rate of speed that we can have a hard time keeping up with. So in addition to all the plant changes, and that will intensify, of course, as time goes on and the tree leaves change color and, you know, we have frost. And so plants are actually kind of going totally dormant versus just moving into dormancy and gaining their beautiful colors that we get to appreciate. And we'll go through that amazing season that so many people are eager for, the great leaf gawk. And we don't want to miss that show.
No.
Because it's so fleeting. But in addition to that, already in early September, there's a lot of movement. If we look at organisms that don't stick around, this is when we start to see big movements. And we've already seen a lot of the insect-dependent birds, for instance, have headed out or have been on the move already for a while, because obviously we've all been enjoying the lack of at least biting insects by comparison to earlier in the year. And nectar feeders, like hummingbirds, you know, they definitely are among the earlier birds to start to shift their locations. And depending upon how the phenology is going, they may go sooner or later. Still got a lot of blooming plants in the forests and on the roadsides and things, you know, everything from the lots of still blue and white asters in bloom, lots of golds with the goldenrod and the sunflowers and the beggar ticks. And there is a real, I've even seen some really nice Joe Pye weed, still a rosy pink out there. Some of it's already passed, but other places I've still seen some nice displays of color there. Things are changing, but it's not devoid of flowering things out there, but they're not the best nectar in terms of hummingbirds. So hummingbirds start to head out. Wading birds definitely coming through, those really long distance migrants. And then, of course, we're really just getting into the great raptor migration that will just continue to be here to amaze us for the next couple months. The small raptors are the September thing. So kestrels, Cooper's hawks, sharp-shinned hawks, broadwing hawks, any place that you can get out on a day when it's a west, northwest wind, especially if it's clear skies, so that south-facing slopes along the ridge, along the lake, generate updrafts, thermals.
Yep.
Great day to go out and visit Oberg or Laveau or Pincushion, or inland too. There are locations like that further inland. This is a great time of year to go to those places and enjoy the raptors, as these smaller raptors as they move through. Of course, if you want to see it funneling in and in the big, you know, the really big show, that's down at Hawk Ridge. And, you know, 93,000 birds in a day. I mean,
oh my gosh.
Sometimes that is really something. So that's well worth checking out if you haven't ever done it, or even if you have. I've never tired of observing there. And broadwing hawks are one of those great birds that are a size that you can really easily see. And then they do a lot of kettling as big groups. So they form these big spiraling kettles, they're called, that are moving up with the thermal. And So you get a long time to look and observe their behaviors. And then eventually you see them disappear. You know, they get so high and then or go sailing off on, you know, a long glide in whatever direction they're going to head.
But they're moving down the shore towards Duluth because they don't really want to cross the big water.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Birds do not voluntarily go flying out to cross the span of any really much of a span of Lake Superior. Too many hazards. Yeah. Despite all the hazards that they encounter everywhere else, that's a well-ingrained hazard in their migratory behavior. So they avoid that.
Except for the hummers going across the Gulf.
Right, yeah. Well, some birds have to eventually migrate over big water, no question about it. But birds here, this part of their migration, even though they may cross big water later, they do not want to cross this lake. Again, they want to limit their big water crossings as much as possible, I guess is what it comes down to. There's also, lots of other things going on. A lot of caching behavior. So if you go for a walk in the woods, say in spruces or balsam fir or pines or whatever, you can literally hear a rain of twigs. You might get hit, in fact, with a rain of twig ends with cones attached, or the cones themselves, because the squirrels, they're all up there nipping those off, and they just let them rain down, and then they go around and gather them all up. And you're very likely to see piles of cone scales, and I would encourage anybody who hasn't done it to find one and just sit and watch one, or stand and watch one, because it's just a marvel how they can nip that scale off with their teeth and at the same time be slipping their tongue in and scooping out the seed and stuffing it in their cheek. And they're doing this so fast that it's really unbelievable how efficient they are. They are. It's a marvel of evolution, to be sure, to watch a squirrel work a cone. Bears are bulking up. You know, the big sleep is still a little ways away, but that's a lot of calories need to be consumed between now and then. So they're definitely on the move, going to any place that they're aware of that can sniff out or whatever that has especially high calorie food. So maybe there'll be squirrels losing their hazelnut caches over the next while. So a lot of getting ready on both the plant and animal side, getting ready for that longer season that's on the other side of this particular transition. But all good things that we can appreciate and enjoy as we make that change.
Chell Anderson regularly fills us in on current events in the woods. Thanks for helping us understand our waning summer and advancing autumn.
You're welcome.